Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Like Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey. We've got another full show ahead for the next hour, as we've got a lot to talk about with Bearcat Sports. Football and volleyball saw their seasons come to a close, and we've got indoor track and field and men's and women's basketball going strong right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. And so it's a time for Northwest to kind of look back on a really tremendous fall season overall when you think about the first time ever the Bearcats had cross-country and football and volleyball and soccer all reach into the NCAA national tournaments or getting to the national meet in the case of cross-country. So the first time that's ever happened, a fantastic fall for Northwest Missouri State. And already off to a strong start, too, when you think about, you know, indoor track and field, a good showing there at the Mel Churchman Classic over the weekend. And then both basketball teams, the men are 8-1 as they head into this weekend's matchup with Lincoln and Jeff City. The women are sitting at 6-1 on a six-game winning streak, 2-0 in conference play. And really, I have to be feeling good about themselves the way they've been playing basketball so far. So, you know, the winter is kind of starting off the way we saw the fall get started off, and obviously that ended very well with some deep runs for some teams, so hoping to see the same here for our winter.
Unfortunately for the Bearcat football team, their season came to close on Saturday with a loss to Ferris State up in Big Rapids, Michigan. And tell you what, that was a very impressive Ferris State team that Northwest played on Saturday.
Yeah, they are. It's a team that plays very good defense, obviously, as we saw throughout that day, but they've got a lot of playmakers on offense, too. And, you know, you get to this point in the season, everybody's battling injuries, and they roll out a second-string quarterback that would start on most Division II programs across the country. So, you know what, they were a tough squad. They were ready to go, and the Bearcats laid it all out there. Just it wasn't their day. But overall, you look at it, an 11-2 year, you make the region championship, you're the conference champs once again in the MIAA. I think that's still a season to be proud of, because a lot of teams wish that they could have just a little bit of that success. You know, that's honestly a pretty normal year for Northwest when you think about that kind of success. And I know a lot of folks are wanting a lot more, and kind of a disappointing end of the season. But, boy, in the grand scheme of things, as a tremendous season, especially, too, coming off COVID-19 and a completely lost year with the pandemic last year. So, you know, it's a good football team, and looking forward to see what Coach Wright and the crew can do as we head into 2022.
Yeah, I think a lot of programs, probably about 99% of the programs around the country, had taken an 11-2 season like what Northwest had this past season.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? Honestly, Ferris State, not too long ago, was a team that was barely winning a couple games a year. Now it just so happened that Tony Anise has done a really nice job, and they've won quite a bit and made some deep runs in the playoffs here in these last few years. And once again, they end Northwest Missouri State's season. It's a bitter note, but that's a team that not that long ago was really struggling to do much on the football field. For Northwest, that's what, 17 consecutive playoff appearances? I mean, whew, we are awfully spoiled here in Maryville.
Oh, we really are, and I know Northwest will lose some very good seniors off of that program this year, but when you look ahead, the future is very bright for this Bearcat football team. They've got a lot of good young players that are coming through the fold and are ready to make their name as far as Bearcat football stars here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and that's kind of the great part, too, about this program is a lot of the wins that you do have, or quite a few throughout the year, you do have the opportunity to throw some subs in there to get some experience late in some ball games, still playing against first and second team of some other MIAA schools. So there are a lot of names that we would kind of pop up with that might have played special teams or got some sparing minutes here or there. They're going to come out with a significant impact. I mean, heck, I think right now you think about Northwest Missouri State's reserve linebackers with Volstead, Blum, and Dye, just to name one position group. I think those guys would have started around the MIAA right now. And they're sitting there backing up a really good group. And, you know, Brody Buck and Jackson Barnes, Sam Phillips there too. So, you know, this Bearcat team is really loaded. They've got a lot of talent there in the reserves. So, a chance for some new guys now to step up and kind of shine and see what they can do.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun next year to follow that Bearcat football team. And for whatever reason, it seems like when we're on the road with football, the men's basketball team seems to knock down a lot of threes. And this time around, it was Trevor Hutchins' turn.
Yeah, program record 11 three-point makes there for Northwest as the Bearcats took down Rogers State. Of course, you're referring to The last time we were out of town for Harding in the second round of the playoffs, the Bearcats beat Briarcliff and set a record for team three-pointers. So this time it was Trevor kind of going off and doing it himself.
Yeah, and took a little bit of the shine off of Wes Dreamer, who tied the individual record for threes in that matchup with Briarcliff. And then Trevor comes along and breaks the record. When we're watching something special with this Bearcat men's basketball team, and you look at Trevor Hudgens in particular right now, he is something that is very fun to watch.
Yes, he is. You know, just that the other game they played this week, 26 points against Northeastern State, and, you know, might have put himself on track to win the MIAA Player of the Week in that game, just with another good matchup with Rogers, probably would have won it. But then he went off and just, 40 points and was really feeling it. At one point, he had 40 points, and Rogers State as a team had 40 points. So a great night there for Trevor, and I think he's a young man that we're going to see break quite a few records as this season goes along.
And that Bearcat women's basketball team continues to win. That's fun to see what's happening there with Austin Meyer and Adai Houston and their team.
Yeah, 6-1, the best start since the 2006-2017 when Northwest Missouri State started the year at 8-1. Their six-game win streak's their best in the last decade. 2010-11, they won 11 in a row in that season, I should say. So, you know, all these are coming against Division II teams, the last two against MIAA opponents, a chance to get a rest here during finals week and then take on Lincoln coming up on Saturday, then Central Missouri the following Monday. You know, yeah, I hate to overlook Lincoln. That's one I feel like you go on the road with Jefferson City, the Bearcats have a great chance of running that record of 7-1. And then you kind of gear up in a really good litmus test against Central Missouri, who's 5-3 this season, but they've taken on some really good non-conference competition. So it'll be a good battle this weekend with a couple MIAA games.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and I think we touched on it just a bit too, but volleyball sees their season come to a close in the past week, a trip to the Central Region Tournament. And, boy, what a year did Amy Worth and her team have this year.
Yeah, phenomenal year, 26 wins, and you know, didn't end the way they had hoped, but still a fantastic run there as the Bearcats got up 2-0 in that region matchup against Nebraska Kearney in the tournament. Just couldn't quite pull things out, but still a heck of a season and a lot to look forward to with this team to come.
Again, we've got a lot coming up on our program here this afternoon, as we'll be talking indoor track and field coming up next, as Brandon Masters, the head coach of the Northwest track and field team, will be with us, and we'll also talk to a member of his team. So that's all coming up right after this time, as we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911, or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville this afternoon. And as mentioned before the break, time to talk some indoor track and field. Brandon Masters is with us. And joining Brandon is Tiffany Huey, a sprinter on the Northwest Missouri State track and field squad. And first of all, Brandon, your opening indoor meet of the year this past weekend, the Mel Churchman Invitational over at the Hughes Fieldhouse. And you look up and down the line there, it looks like you guys had some very good performances in the first weekend.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, you never know what you're going to get in December meet. We've been training for weeks and weeks. I think this is week 15 in training, and getting the chance to compete for the first time, put the jersey on. You know, you get to see Obviously, we see the kids train all every day, you know, but, you know, competing is a whole different animal. And seeing how they prepare, how they warm up, how they compete in the race, and how they prepare for the next race, it was great. Really excited with the performances.
And I know we talked a bit about this last week, but the amount of training you guys do to get ready for that first meet, there's a lot of time between when they get on campus to getting a chance to go in this meet. But it looked like everyone did well. And I would imagine there's kind of a sense of relief from a lot of the athletes now that they're in the competition part of their season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think December meet is very important because many kids will do well, and then they'll work hard over break. The kids that didn't have the performances will go back to the drawing board, if you will, and kind of change their training and try to figure out why we didn't get the performances that they were looking for, and so they have a chance to develop again over the next 5 weeks. So, you know, the next 4 to 5, 6 weeks are very, very important for our team because, as you know, we have, you know, Christmas break, let the kids go home, and hopefully they do their job when they get back. We only have about 6 weeks before the conference championship, so it's really important part of our practice strategy in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
I know a lot of coaches talk about the biggest improvement they see out of their team every year is from that first event to the second event where they kind of get a little bit of a litmus test of where they are. But from your standpoint, too, you've got a little bit to battle with the actual Christmas break. When you get them ready, they compete, and then all of a sudden they have to go away for Christmas break for a while.
Yeah, we're definitely opposite of that. I just hope we get close to where we were in December, and then we'll – you know, we'll spin them up pretty quickly after that. But if we can be close in that January 22nd meet to the December meet, I feel like we're in a good place. If we're not very close, then we'll probably have to look at training and go, what did we do wrong?
How hard is it to get a plan out? And I would, too, imagine it kind of varies from individual athlete to individual athlete when they go home to what they have available for them to train during that time frame. But what are some of the things you try to do to make it consistent for all the athletes to work on some things during that
period? Well, consistency is very difficult. We have to run, and a lot of the times these kids are going home to tracks that are outside during December and January, not necessarily the best opportunity. So many times I'll send several workouts per day, or at least the workouts for the week, and they have to work to do the hardest, fastest workouts on the days at the nicest weather. If they don't get that in a week, then probably ought to come back to Maryville because in Hughes it's always 68 degrees. So, I'd love to just keep everybody here the whole break. Obviously, that's not possible, but many of the kids will make an attempt to stay here, especially upperclassmen. Stay here for the most part, only going home for, 10-day period or something like that. Or in Tiffany's case and in Prince's case here, they're close enough in Kansas City they can come up for a couple of days, do the hard workouts, and around the weather outside they have an opportunity. Some of them have the opportunity to run indoors at, say, Hy-Vee Arena or something like that in Kansas City. So that is huge, but many don't. So they're going to have to work hard over break to figure out a way to get the work done.
When you look at the various performances from this past weekend, again, I have a list here in front of with a lot of different athletes who did very well. What were the main things that really stood out to you with the first weekend?
Well, typically we're pretty fast and we're pretty in shape. But to me, some of the better performances, I feel like we are faster than I thought we would be. Sarah in Sarah Prickett in the hurdles, lifetime best by half a second, nearly provisional. I think she moved up to number 4 all time. Did not see that coming because it's a technical event. It takes reps. It takes race reps to be great. The 60 meters, I thought we performed very high level. Jada in the high jump. I mean, personal best. She was working on a school record. The school record's 5'10", and we had it 1 centimeter above that for school record, and she's right there. So to have her, Sarah, the 60 girls, really perform at that level that quickly in a technical event was pretty exciting. Some of the others, obviously we ran really well in Prince and breaking the school record in the 300. Chloe, a freshman who broke the school record in the 300 as well. I knew she was pretty fast. I didn't know maybe she was that fast, but I'll take it.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. And then the 4x4 was awesome. The ladies 4x4 crushed the school record, I think, what, almost 2 seconds, something like that. Did not expect us to beat it by that much. I thought we had a chance, and I told the girls, I said, hey, we can break a school record here today. But they just absolutely crushed it with no competition. You know, the last two legs ran basically alone. So with competition, I think we'll go much faster.
Now, you've talked about Prince. It's Prince Griffin here with us, a freshman redshirt out of Independence, Missouri, in the sprints as well. We'll be talking with Tiffany, but you brought Prince along here to just kind of watch what we're doing here today. But talk about Prince here and what he brings to your squad.
Well, Prince had a finals. We didn't know he was going to make it or not. So he got done just in time before we left. But Prince has been around for, you know, this is his third year. He knows the system. He's a student of the game. He believed in the program. He works his tail off. You know, he's going to be the guy in the 4x4, one of our top guys. And, you know, what he brings is he understands what I'm looking for. He makes the team better. He obviously is a talented sprinter. I mean, his 300-time school record was really fast. And to equate that to a time right now, he's going to be a guy that'll be at the national champions this year if we run correctly in that 400 in 47 seconds, or, you know, 47 mid, 47 low, maybe. You know, he's a guy that's just been around, and he's a leader for us. Maybe not a verbal leader, but he does everything right, and I think that's why he is so important to this team.
Well, leading by example is very important, I would believe, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Tiffany, who are you with us, and what are some things that stand out with Tiffany?
Well, Tiffany's a lot of the same. She's not a very verbal leader, but unbelievable character, understands the system. A lot like Heba. You know, Heba grew up in the program, and I definitely look at Tiffany in the same light. She knows what I want. She knows what she wants as far as how to be great. She's a girl that will ask for more reps as she understands it. She'll come up to me afterwards and, coach, I didn't get there. I'm sorry. I know that workout was supposed to be harder or whatever, and so we'll work together. And I think that's what she's so good at bringing the young ladies along. And that's not how we do things here. This is what we're going to do, and you're going to do it with me. And she'll just drag them along. And I think that's honestly why Chloe has done so well immediately is she's been Tiffany's shadow. That's by design. They are working together every single rep. Tiffany's, she's that girl. You know, she's a lot like Prince in that leader for us. She's going to be huge in our 4x4. She's one of our top ladies. We look to see her at a national championship in the 400 as well.
Well, Tiffany, again, it's good having you with us on the program here today. And how much fun was it for you to actually just get out and compete this past Saturday?
It was a lot of fun. Like Coach said, I didn't know we were going to break the record by that much. He just said, we have a chance. And I said, all right, let's go do it.
And when you're competing in an event like that, do you get a sense while you're out there that this particular race might be something special, that you guys have an opportunity to break that record?
Yes, I think just running in the 4x4, when you get the baton, it's go time. So I think we all came together. We knew what we wanted to do. We had a common goal, and Chloe took off, and then we were just like, let's finish it.
And again, Coach talked a little bit about your leadership. What are some of the things that you like to do to try to help a team? Again, track in some respects is an individual sport, but yet it's also a team sport where you can help your teammates out there. What are some of the things that you enjoy doing that helps out the rest of the team?
Sometimes the workouts are a little tough, and I just try and encourage them every rep. Like, you can do this. I know it's hard, but you're stronger than you think you are. So I just drag them along with me and encourage them a lot.
You personally, this year, what type of goals do you have?
Hopefully top three in the conference in the 400, go to nationals in the 4x4.
And 400. We're going to nationals for 400.
Come on, girl.
There we go. All right. Well, sounds great there. And again, we might just get a little bit of background on you in particular. What are some things that people might not know about you that would be fun to get out there? Any type of hobbies, interests, and things off the track?
I do draw. Yeah. I'm an artist alongside being an athlete. So I'm also a digital media major here at Northwest, so working on getting that degree for that.
Well, that sounds great. What are some things you like to draw?
I like drawing animals, landscapes, really anything. I think it's just relaxing to do sometimes, and I've been drawing since I was a little kid, so.
That sounds great. What drew you to Northwest Missouri State?
It was close to home, and I knew I wanted to run track and stay in state. And I thought it just felt very homey when I visited here. I really liked Coach Masters in the program, so I just thought it'd be a good fit.
All right. Well, sounds good. Coach, again, you talked about having a little time off now until January 22nd when you host the Northwest Open. So get a little bit of a break here. But overall, when you look at the next event coming up, what are some of the things that stand out with this particular event?
January 22nd meet should be a really nice meet for us. It'll be a little bit bigger than the December meet. A lot of the conference, like, we're blessed in that we have so many good tracks in the conference with Pittsburgh State and Washburn, Central Missouri, even Kearney hosts as well on their track. So many of the MIAA schools host at their own place in December. So we don't see a lot of the MIAA schools. I think Mo West is the only team that came up this past weekend. That won't be the case in January, and it certainly won't be the case in February 4th and 5th meet, which is our big one. January 22nd, we'll get, you know, a handful, four or five conference teams, and so we'll get to see a little bit more about who the conference is this year. Every year it changes. So we're looking forward to that. We're just hoping that the kids practice really well over the next 4 or 5 weeks, so we can show up pretty good in January, kind of see where we're at.
All right, sounds good there. And again, appreciate having you on the show here today.
Appreciate it, thank you.
All right, that's Brandon Masters along with Tiffany Huey with us, and alongside was Prince Griffin to be here on the show as well. We'll be back and have more on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this time.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back at Pizza Ranch here on KXCV KLRNW, the Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball now, and we have head coach Austin Meyer as well as Emma Atwood joining us. And Coach Meyer, 6-1 on the season, a couple of conference wins to start things off in MIAA play. Overall, even despite a rocky start on Saturday, have to be pleased with what you're seeing out of your team right now.
Yeah, we've done some good things. We've had some games where we didn't play great, and still been able to pull them out. Saturday was one where it wasn't the prettiest game in the world, but we still fought, we battled, and pulled out a win. So it was a good start for us for sure.
So there have been other games in the past too that the way the scoring started in that basketball game, it was slow on both sides. That's one where you might look at it and say, we're going to have to win this one 52-51. It's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. You still come out and put up 67 points and find some other people to knock down some shots. That's kind of a good thing, too, early in the season to say, we're going through this right now, but this is a team that can kind of will itself to get to a winning spot.
Yeah, you know, the start of that game, I think it was 0-0, 5 minutes into the game, but we just said, hey, if they don't score, we'll be all right. I thought we got pretty good shots still, even during that period that we didn't make. And so, you know, the way we finished from three, we shot it well to finish the game. And had some really good possessions offensively. And I think even though we weren't great to start, we were able to kind of pick it up and play better. And then from a percentage-wise, you know, I still think we shot a good percentage from the field. And from an efficiency standpoint, you know, we've been so much better this year, and hopefully we can keep it up.
Emma, it's been a little bit since we've seen you on the floor, but you've still been there with the team on the bench, observing everything as it goes. For the Thursday game against Northeastern to be, man, they claw back, it's a four-point game, and then Northwest blows up for 27 in the fourth quarter, and then the way to come back out and kind of grind and beat Rogers by 8 points. Probably is kind of nice from your perspective to watch this and kind of seeing how the team's working and what gels and what you need at certain points of a ball game.
Yeah, it's been really, like, obviously I'd like to be out there, but it's been really, like, fun to watch just how even, like, when I went out, like, we didn't miss a beat. Like, we were still playing well, like, as a team, and, like, the chemistry is always still there. So it's fun to watch that and just watch everyone play well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was close, or the fourth quarter in Northeastern, and then we kind of just played our game and got going on offense, so it was really fun to see that.
Is this a team, whenever you're watching in the off season, that you're kind of saying, you know, we've got some offensive potential here, but the way it just kind of blows up for you guys at some points, it has to be pretty exciting to watch on the sideline.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we knew coming in that we were much improved offensively, and then, you know, having kids that have been in the program multiple years now from an offense standpoint that kind of know our system and what to do, that stuff, it just doesn't happen overnight to get a feel on teammates and a feel on, you know, what we're doing offensively. And so, you know, having that experience now, even though we still are a pretty young team when you look at the roster, but kids that have been in it multiple years and can teach the young kids what to do. And so I think it's a, you know, it's only going to evolve as we move forward, and our kids keep getting better individually. Coach Houston and our kids do a great job of getting in. The kids are willing to get in and want to put the time in, and Houston does a great job with them. That we always say get better every day, but I think we truly are improving each day.
Longest win streak since the 2010-2011 season, so it's been a solid 10 years to get to this point. Emma, what were you doing 10 years ago?
How old was I? I was 10? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I was in a gym somewhere, but, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it just shows you what, like, when you get the right people in the right program and you focus on the right things, like the culture and just setting goals and standards, it's just pretty incredible to see what you can do.
It's been an awesome start. I mean, heck, 10 years ago, Coach Meyer was sitting next to Coach Mack in a sweater vest, and look how he is now. So
I haven't worn that in a while.
The style's improved over the years. So now you go into a weekend where you're going to see Lincoln coming up on Saturday. The last time you're in Jeff City, that was a tough ballgame. You bounced back after that, played really well in Warrensburg two nights later. But what's the message to the team and discussion heading into this one after a tough year last year?
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, we're not even going to bring it up. We're not even going to talk about it. I had a little anxiety from it. But when you go back and you look at, you know, box score there, I mean, we're just a totally different team, and there's nothing from that game that I would even move to this game. You know, we're going to obviously scout them this year. They're better this year. They're, you know, coaches in their second year, so they're improved. They got some new kids and they can play, but there's nothing from that game last year at their place that we're going to use for this year. We just got to do what we do, be locked in defensively, guard the ball, and then offensively just play unselfish and be in attack mode and hopefully get to the free throw line and just play how we play. And from a winning streak standpoint, you know, it's nothing we talk about either. It's just trying to get better. The next time we're on the floor, we took a couple days off for finals, so we'll get back at it tomorrow and just try to keep improving.
Emma, this is your first game at Jason Gymnasium, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a pretty tight, intimate setting, and the band, it's a little bit intense in there, but is this an environment you look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, you can let it affect you, but, I mean, it's just another basketball game, so you kind of just have to approach it like that. But, I mean, it'll be loud, and
something to
as long as it, yeah, if yeah. it goes well, it's a good atmosphere to be in, so looking forward to it.
So then you turn around after that, and 2 days later, this will be next Monday, you'll be taking on Central Missouri, and not to overlook Lincoln either, but this is a good chance to go in and take on Lincoln, but then you match up with a team in UCM who's had a tough non-conference. They're 5-3, but obviously a good year in and year out. A good couple measuring stick games as we get closer to Christmas coming up this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we played neutral site games in the non-conference. We've played all D2s in the non-conference, we've talked about, so our schedule strength has been good, but we haven't had a true road game, so going on the road now for two straight is going to be big for us and kind of see where we're at.
Emma, can you give us just an idea of how you're feeling? What are you up to speed? 100%, 90%? How are you feeling heading into this weekend?
I feel good. I feel 100%. I mean, it's been a few weeks, and I mean, I've still been getting after it in the gym and lifting and doing the same thing. So this will be my, I practiced last week and then went live at the end of the week, and then this will be my first week of full practice. But I mean, I feel good, so hopefully 100%.
Perfect. Well, get to see you out there this weekend against Lincoln in Jeff City. And Coach, I know we've talked about it before. The scoring for Northwest, it's been much more even this year. Your different players can step up at three, averaging double figures. And plus getting Emma back out in the court now, too. It just feels like this is a team that a little bit light years ahead of what we've seen maybe two, 3 years ago.
Yeah, and we talk about our depth, a strength of ours, which can be a challenge just because, you know, I get it, everybody wants to play a lot of minutes and things like that. But, you know, I just talked about it in there, you know, from like Jillian Fleming, for example, you know, against Northeastern, I think she played maybe 7-8 minutes. But she came in with a really good attitude the next day. She came in and went in with Houston right in the morning and worked on defensive stuff. And then we come out on Saturday and she hits a shot early when we struggled to score, hits a huge three late. Dishes out a couple assists, didn't have a turnover, and played really good defense, which was a thing that she had struggled with a bit. So I think just having that mindset that just making the most of your time on the floor, whatever it may be, is so important. And I think that's just one example there of the depth we have on this team.
And it is fun to watch because sometimes the minutes do fluctuate from player to player and game to game. But Emma, it seems like when we watch from our perspective, dead ball timeout after big shot, doesn't matter if you played 20 minutes or zero, everybody's jumping up and fired up in that huddle.
Yeah, I think that's something, like, nothing, like, against the last year's, but I feel like this year we're just a really close-knit team, like, on the court and off the court. We're always together, and people are just, like, genuinely happy for each other. It's not like, obviously everyone wants to play, like he said, but it's not like anyone's mad at someone. Like, you're just happy and just, like, accepting your role, and then, like, even if you're not getting any minutes, you're just as important as the people who play 30-plus. So just, like, people understanding their roles and accepting them has just helped us as a team overall.
A chance to pick up another conference win coming up this Saturday. Coach, Emma, thanks for the time, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Austin Meyer and Emma Atwood joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show as Northwest Missouri State will be in Jeff City on Saturday taking on Lincoln. That is set for our 1 o'clock tip-off, 12:30 pregame on KXCV, KRNW. We'll take a timeout and be back with more on KXCV and KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post-frame and all-steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance Agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
We are back on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show here from Pizza Ranch in Maryville talking Northwest Missouri State Volleyball with head coach Amy Wirth. Coach Wirth, thank you for joining us as we're getting things rolling here. And your season comes to a close last week, a tough match there against Nebraska Kearney, but a few days now to digest and kind of take a step away from that match. How do you view things in the season, or when does that kind of come around to where you can fully kind of take in everything that your team did this year?
There's glimpses of it now. I mean, from the standpoint of having a broken heart, just with everything that happened and how we lost those last 2 weeks, you know, just you ache for the student-athletes, and you sew it back up a couple stitches and you pull it back out because you start thinking about things. And so it's kind of a up-and-down thing that you know, over time, your heart tends to heal there and you get over the loss. But just know that we took some steps this year, and we were in a situation we've never been in before, which is great to see, and taking strides in the right direction and climbing the ladder that we need to be climbing. So just very grateful for what our girls do and the sacrifices they put in for this program.
But the ache and the hurt and the emotions, it's a good thing, though, right? Because if you were done a few weeks ago, then it'd kind of be like, well, you know, it stinks that we didn't have a good year. But all of a sudden, you get to this point, everything hurts so much worse.
Right.
That's what you want, right? You're working into more pain.
Right. Working into more pain, which makes no sense, but it is the life of a coach and a team. Working into more pain to know that Washburn made it to the Elite Eight when we beat him three times. You know, I texted our coaching staff and said, Washburn, .. We're going to be there next year, you know, from the standpoint of understanding the team that is going and seeing them at the stage that we were going to be in that was a different stage than we'd ever been in before. You know, like if we'd beat Kearney, what had happened from the standpoint of Concord or St. Paul and the what-ifs come into play. But no, I mean, we did some great things, and you see that and you recognize that and you celebrate it. But it still has some of that ache, and that's kind of the life of a coach, though.
So just to briefly go back into it and reopen the wound once again. In the NCAA tournament, it's the second time ever. You've got Nebraska Kearney. You're up two sets. And again, their team has been there, and so they don't give up, and it kind of becomes a dogfight at that point. I know watching it from, you know, that 10,000 feet, it's kind of like, well, you know what? The spring season ended with them getting up two sets and then finding a way to win in five. I'm like, we'll just reverse it and take this one down. Your vantage point on the sideline, what's going through your mind?
We need 25 points, you know, and you know, you look back at it now, like at a big picture, and we needed 25 points. We already earned 50 of them to get to 75. And, you know, from that standpoint, I wasn't thinking that way in the match. I was thinking, how can we get to 5 first and how can we get to 10 first? They started doing some hard cross. They were hitting their left side started hurting our left sides, and our left sides wasn't getting enough kills, and they were getting dug. So making those adjustments, I think, is something that we've got to get better at from a coaching standpoint and also from a player standpoint to go ahead and make those changes. We made them, but it was too late, and it didn't have a change in the course of the game, and being able to make those at a critical time, earlier time, I think would have been critical for us from that standpoint.
There was an overturned point in the fifth set that would have made it 13-12 down by one. Instead, it becomes, you know, 14-11. It's a very different look there. The details on that, what was going through in that review?
So from the standpoint of what happened is it hit our block and it went down the net and it went out of bounds on their side. If it had come in bounds on their side, then it would have been our point, because we would have touched it last and it would have gone in bounds. But because it was off the tape, well, I was trying to potentially going to challenge it that it never hit us, but I didn't, from the standpoint that our girl said it did hit them. So from that standpoint, I knew probably we wouldn't win that challenge. But from the standpoint of that piece, it definitely changed the course of the match and changed it towards their favor. And I think who knows what would have happened if it would have been, you know, reversed from that standpoint.
And I'm watching on a grainy internet feed, and like, are we sure that was – is that conclusive evidence that that was out? But either way, that's neither here nor there as you move forward. A tough end, especially senior-wise, but that's still a group that has to be able to celebrate what they did and be happy with all the steps they made for Northwest Volleyball.
Yeah, that's just, number one, the way they carry themselves and the characters that they have, like, our barn, you know, just amazing from the standpoint of what they do and what they bring to the court every day and what they are able to model, and so that everyone else follows from that modeling cue. And I just think they do a great job of that. And, you know, obviously they're kind of good at volleyball when you look at all of them. They were represented on our, you know, all conference, and they were some of the best players on our team, and that's what you want to see as seniors. And but they just carried themselves at such a high level from that standpoint, and I think we'll miss that. We'll have some shoes to fill from that standpoint, but I know our girls have learned from the best, so they'll step up into those shoes for sure.
So we look at it, and for decades, Northwest had never had an AVC All-American. And then all of a sudden, 18 goes to Bruder, 19 goes to Sydney. Now, two All-Americans coming out this year with Peyton Kirchhoffer and Alyssa Rezach. That was just announced just around noon earlier today. But that is such an incredible feat, and they still have a long way to go in their career.
Yeah, I mean – I obviously want Peyton to get first team, but I'm like, she's a redshirt freshman from that standpoint. She's got some time. But just from her standpoint, to be able to do what she did her freshman year and be able to put together a consistency that she did, that people paid attention to and had to scout and create their whole game plan around, I think is such a promising thing for a redshirt freshman. Little known fact, the girl who got all region ended up being the national freshman of the year. So from that standpoint, Peyton was close to be able to be the, you know, all region freshman of the year and could have been national freshman of the year. And I think that would have spoke volumes for what she could have done there too, because she is our freshman, you know, our freshman of the year for sure. And she's deserving of it at a national stage too. But, you know, from the standpoint of Alyssa, that's a tough position to be in. There's some really good setters in our conference and they're all older. Alyssa's one of the younger setters that is getting these nominations and being able to, you know, garner these awards, I think is just speaks volumes again to her character and what she brings to the court and how she holds herself. It's such a consistent, steady vibe that she brings, and it helps our team stay at that level that you saw them play this year. So hats off to both of them for a deserving award that I think just speaks volumes of what they bring to the court every day and their consistency.
Is this an exciting from the standpoint of, you know, Hallie's had to put in so much time, the injury, the rehab to get back to this point, kind of an extension of the coaching staff right there with you. Now she has a chance to step back in with these two and a very talented group around them too, and
right.
You know, take off next year.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, on paper it looks great. It's just you have to go and attack it, and there's so many details that go into actually making something like that work. And so I know from the number one ingredient that has to, you know, exist is the hard work, and our girls have that covered. They're going to work their butts off. We're going to push them to be the, you know, the next step for us getting past that first round of regional and beyond. We still had a lot of goals that we didn't meet this year. They're high goals, and it's awesome to have those high goals, but we're looking forward to be able to attack those same goals next year as we go with the group that we have.
What's the next step as the off season kind of gets underway?
Rest. Just have some rest, some closure to the season, turn in the gear, obviously, say goodbyes for the holidays, and then get back after it with some in-season meetings as we get going after the new year and banquet, and then get back on the court when it comes to individuals and being spending a lot of time in the weight room and building the foundation for their bodies.
The other hard part about ending a season like this is that now all of a sudden it's a long wait until you get that next one underway. But
yeah.
But we'll be here before we know it. So
yep.
Thanks so much for the time throughout the year and obviously a fantastic season. Looking forward to more next season, Coach.
Thank you so much for the coverage. Appreciate it.
Amy Worth, Northwest Missouri State Head Volleyball Coach, joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show as Northwest wraps up its year with a 26-6 overall record, 17-3 in conference play. We'll take a timeout and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design center is open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. And up next is Athletic Director Andy Peterson with us here on the show. And Andy, we talked about this at the very start of the program, but what a fall has it has been for Northwest Athletics as some of the fall sports beginning to come to a close now with football ending their year on Saturday, volleyball this past Thursday in the Central Region Tournament. But yep. You just look up and down. I don't know if I can remember a fall season that's been a successful overall is what Northwest had this past year.
No, I don't think we can. You know, historic for soccer, obviously. Historic for volleyball, in a sense, I guess. You know, they've been to the national tournament before, but historic in just how they've done it this year. Football, obviously, outright for Coach Wright's first outright conference championship as the head coach. Once again, made it to the quarterfinals of the playoffs. Another home playoff football game. Cross country did some good stuff. Obviously, third and fourth. We can't ever find record of both men's and women's teams finishing in the top four of the league like that. And then to have an individual go to nationals is great. Rosie's kids had a great showing at the ITA regionals. My golf girls played pretty well. We've lowered our stroke average. I think in the last 3 years, we went from averaging about a 333 down to a 316 right now. So great fall. You know, we've got a little bit of a weird carryover right now between fall and winter sports. And obviously Austin's having off to a great start. And the women's basketball is off to a great start. Men's basketball is doing kind of what they've done the last 10 years. So it has been a lot of fun in the competitive arenas and venues. And we're just trying to take a quick break here and a breather and get ready for winter sports.
You know, I know Rich Aritis was kidding Mark Rosewell about this. I guess the first luncheon that we had here at Pizza Ranch, Mark gets up and says it's time for all the fall sports to step up and win some because he wants that all-conference, all-sports trophy at the end of things next spring.
We had our department meeting, John, our all-department meeting at the beginning of the year, and I just told all the coaches, like, you know, hey, yes, we want to be competitive, but there's a lot of other stuff that we want to do, right? We need to focus on our kids and making sure we're safe through COVID as we come out of this stuff. And I talked about everything except winning. And then Rosie says, I got something to say. And then he gave us just this big old win one for the Gipper speech, and it's all been history. So I work for Rosie. That's what I'm saying.
You know, the thing about that now is it's a lot of pressure on Mark coming in the spring season. He's got to perform now, right?
He's the closer, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's the closer. We're going to get to that point. He wants to take that – he wants the all-conference trophy. He thinks we deserve it and we should win it. So he made his opinion known.
Well, so far so good with the start fall sports has had, and of course with basketball getting into the meat of their schedule now, you really have to feel good about the way basketball is looking. Of course, you mentioned that on the men's side, Northwest just continuing the success they've had through the several years, but that women's program, they're a lot of fun to watch right now.
Yeah, I think they're getting, you know, this is Austin and Adai's fourth year, I think. Is that right? Maybe fourth year. But they've got their system in. They're comfortable with each other now. They're comfortable with their recruiting. They're really young at this point, too. I think that's the other thing that's really exciting. Obviously, they've got some senior leadership with McConkie and Kylie and, you know, some of those girls that have been around for a while. And even if they don't play a lot, there's still a lot of intangible and a knowledge transfer that's happening that is going to be invaluable for these girls the next 2, 3, 4 years as they continue to build and move in the right direction. So, yeah, it's exciting to watch. It's fun, you know, and I think that's kind of the MO this fall, too. Soccer's young. Now, they had some key athletes, seniors that played in very important spots. Volleyball's pretty young, all things considered. And then you got women's basketball's young. You know, men's basketball has opportunities with some guys. And then I think you guys talked to track just a little bit ago, too. You know, they're a young team. They're a young squad that has already had probably 3 performances this weekend here at home at Hughes that are going to take kids to the national track meet. So a lot of youth that's performing, so that is exciting all the way around.
What is it right now that really – makes this program go, the athletics overall at Northwest Missouri State? I'm just, you look around, not only MIAA, but just around the region, there are a lot of schools that like to have just a little bit of the success that Northwest is having right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put a good can't put my thumb on it, really. I think we've got great people. I know that I'm extremely comfortable right now with my team and our support staff with Troy, Colin, and Ryan, KO, and Lori. And then Matt Canella and his team, Joe Q and his team. I feel very, very good about our support staff and our relationships and how we work together and what we try to do and our goal of, you know, eliminating obstacles for our coaches so that they can just focus on coaching. I feel really good about that. I think that's a part of it, that they hear the same message. The coaches hear the same message from all of us on the admin team. You know, I think that's something that I pulled from Coach T. I think that's something that I pulled from Coach Tapmeyer, his coach. You know, you always, even though Coach Tapp liked to be the bad cop, I think, and Coach Vorderbrug, you like to be the good cop, you got the same message from those guys all the time. And it didn't matter if you were Andy Peterson, the redshirt freshman that wasn't playing at all, or you were Kelvin Parker, the All-American senior point guard. We got the same message, regardless of who it was coming from. So, and I don't know that I've been real intentional about that or real good about it. I think I may have backed into it a little bit. But just with Lori and her experience and being around with compliance, and Troy and his vast experience from a lot of other institutions coming here, I mean, Colin is the best sports information director in the country. You know, he's got no business at this level. Obviously, he's been a Division I SID for a long time, but for him to come home has been awesome. Ryan Melke is an up-and-comer that just wants to be better. And then KO is a Swiss Army knife that can just do it all. And so I feel very good and comfortable with our team, and I think coaches – There's a lot of continuity, and there's a lot of consistency from our group. And so what we're telling them, how we're trying to build things budgetarily and support-wise, and, you know, our engagement and our connection with Dr. Beamer, our faculty athletics rep, she's created a new team this year, last year, towards the end of last year and this year, where she's got her own committee, and there's a faculty member from every school or department on campus that's represented on that committee. And so all of the professors are hearing the same message. And it's not just Dr. Beamer, Dr. Walker in the past, or Dr. Dewhurst as our FARs the last, you know, 20 years, of them trying to put out every little fire that's happening around when we have kids traveling last minute, you know, for regionals or whatever. They're all hearing the same message, and it's an easier communication. But I think we're all in it together, and we all want our student-athletes to be as successful as they can in the classroom, but also on their competitive, respective competitive venues. And it's just a lot of fun right now.
So. You know, one part that you mentioned a little bit there, too, that we try to mention on our broadcast whenever we get a chance to, just what Joe Quinlan and strength and conditioning does, and athletic training staff do, too, just to make sure that everyone is healthy and ready to go from game to game. And it's, I think those are some kind of the unsung heroes with this program, too.
Yeah, and you look at the easy ones like men's, women's basketball, or men's basketball the last however many years with Trevor, Hawk, Diego, and those guys playing 40 minutes a game. You know, they're in unbelievable shape. Football's been that way for a long time. And that stuff starts in the summertime. Those guys report back in early May and start working out, and that's Joe Q. He's the only one that's allowed to work with student-athletes in the summer, and he does it for all of them, and he treats them all the same. Doesn't matter if you're a football, you know, All-American, or you're a women's golfer that's just sticking around for a couple weeks. You know, you get in, you get a workout in, and there's just a lot more to it than just working out. You know, Joe's is a very strong role model for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And so a lot of our culture comes from that discipline and grit and resiliency that you learn in the weight room, doing stuff you don't necessarily love, you know, running and extra reps and all that stuff. And it just teaches you a lot of stuff and pushes you to your limits and what you know you can do. And so then when it comes to competing, you can focus on your craft, not so much your wind or I'm out of shape or I'm breathing heavy or somebody's got stronger than me or whatever. It's powerful. You know, Joe and Kelly in the past, but you know, a lot of her disciples now are running the training room too. So it's a great relationship between those groups with Matt Canella and Joe, and the communication, and you know, hey, this kid's at 80%, this kid's at 50%, and how do we modify workouts to get them back on the court, pitch, field, whatever, as quickly as you can. So, yeah, big piece of our puzzle.
Yeah, I would imagine, too, just the fact that they go into the season in as good a condition as you could possibly be means when injuries do inevitably occur, that it's a shorter time frame to get them back out on the competition.
Then. Yeah, and I think that's where that communication and that continuity between Joe Q and the trainers is so great. And it's another one of those things where the coaches can trust our training staff and strength and conditioning staff on they're going to do what's best for the student athlete. Number one, for their health, but number two, for the program, to get them back as healthy as they can when they do come back, they're ready to go, and you don't have to baby them, or you don't have to treat them differently, or do anything else. It's hey, John's ready to go, and he's, as a coach, I know that I can turn you loose and do what we expect you to do without any limitations. So, yeah, very big piece of our puzzle that, like you said, gets not the notoriety that they probably deserve. So very, very, very important to the Bearcat Nation.
Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking with Athletic Director Andy Peterson. We'll be back and have more right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, has been batting cleanup again for us this week. And Ben, I've talked to you just a little bit during the break, but we leave town for a day or so here in the last couple weeks, and then all of a sudden the threes are falling in both the Briarcliff game and then, of course, Trevor Hudson going off on Saturday. You guys seem to have a way of knack of getting things done there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We need you out of town more often.
No, unfortunately, like, you're stuck with us now. So.
Yeah. No, it was it's a good game. I think we're finding ourselves a little bit. It's just, again, it'll be up and down for quite a while, but starting to find ourselves offensively and defensively, trying to identify roles and play to those roles and strengths and whatnot, and so that's what you're seeing right now.
Now, I know we don't have a lot of time here to talk about this, but let's just talk about your offense overall. It's getting a lot of notoriety around the nation of some of what you do here at Northwest, and I know there's been some articles that you've talked to different people about, but what are some of the things that really makes the Northwest offense special that people are taking a look at right now?
Yeah, it's really the players. The players are unselfish, and so they – you know, and then they're skilled and good. You know, that's a big part. We allow a lot more freedom. We're very random with our movements, and so it becomes difficult to defend. We're very personnel-driven. So, you know, like if we've got a player with a strength, we really try to highlight those strengths within the offense. And so a lot of those things add up, and then, you know, you see what you see then.
Now, you talk about the unselfishness, of course, with Trevor having the hot hand on Saturday. It just seems like the rest of the team kind of gravitates to whoever has the hot hand there and lets them take over.
Yeah, they do. You know, I mean, that's the sign of an unselfish team is they literally wouldn't shoot the ball until he shot it every time down after that. It was like, guys, okay, that's enough. Let's play offense. And so, yeah, no, and that's neat that they'll allow that. And they just want to win. But then, you know, once he started to go a little bit, they wanted to go off.
Well, what about defense right now? I think you mentioned after the game Saturday that you felt like some things are coming in place now on the defensive side. What are you seeing right now that you like out of your defense?
We're getting better. I think we've identified what we need to do to be good defensively. And since we've identified that, now we can really coach to that and hold them accountable. I wasn't quite sure what direction we were going to go defensively. Obviously, we always play man, and we do kind of the same similar stuff. But there's certain strengths in your coverages that you know, you have to adjust each year, and I think we're finding what we need to do.
Now this weekend, back on the road after finals this week, a trip down to Jeff City with Lincoln, and then wrap the road trip off with the matchup on next Monday with Central Missouri in Warrensburg. That's kind of a tough swing there when you look at it. A couple of teams that traditionally play pretty well at home, and of course with Lincoln, there's been some battles down there at Jeff City through the years.
Yeah, really tough place to play. They're playing hard right now. Haven't won a lot of games, but Then Central, obviously a very difficult place to play. So it's a tough road trip for us. We need to be ready to go.
And as you get to this point in the season, again, it's kind of a turning point where you get to Christmas break and then really the meat of the schedule coming up with the heart of the conference race the rest of the way here. Right now, where do you feel this team is as far as where you want to see it be at toward the end of the season?
Just a work in progress. I mean, we've grown a lot. We've been exposed a lot, and so it's helped. But we're still a major work in progress. We've got a long ways to go throughout the season.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us here today.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Team Ben McCollum. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this from Pizza Ranch.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe Coaches Show. As we're wrapping things up from Pizza Ranch for this afternoon, don't forget, coming up on Saturday, it's Bearcat Basketball. The Northwest women will tip off at 1:30 and the men at 3:30. We'll have the broadcast of both of those beginning at 1 o'clock with our pregame, again, from the matchup in Jefferson City. So that's all coming up on Saturday. Actually, that's 1 and 3 o'clock starts instead of 1:30 and 3:30. So anyway, we'll be having the play-by-play for you of all those coming up on Saturday from Jefferson City. My thanks to everyone involved with their broadcast. For Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.